श्रीमद भक्ति वेदांता स्वामी नामने नमस्ते सरस्वती देवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेष शून्यवादी अष्टाचारे प्रचारिणे जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौर भक्तवृंद हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम हरे राम राम हरे 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 कृष्णा कृष्णा हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे Originally, when we are in the spiritual world, we are connected to Krishna by what we can call pure love. And this divine connection to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, our original love is manifested, and it is the highest, you can say, spiritual experience of ecstasy. Now, when the soul enters the material world, it always looks for an opportunity to experience this ecstatic spiritual love. However, because the soul is in ignorance, it can never ever experience it, remains thirsty and hungry for love. Once this very simple point was illustrated by Krishna himself to his dear devotee Narada Muni. I will tell the story now for Narayan because he's a child, and for his sister Yamuna. Narada Muni came to Krishna and he went on a walk with the Lord, and all of a sudden he asked Krishna, "Can you show me your Maya, your illusory energy?" And Krishna said, "I'm not sure if I should show this to you. Why do you want to see it? This is made for materialists, not for you, who is a devotee." And Narada Muni said, "Well, I want to see it because I very often talk about Maya and how it is dangerous for the people in the material world, but I have never really seen it." So Krishna was not sure if he should show us his Maya, because Narada Muni wanted to see it. He said, "Yes." Okay. Now, after some time, he said to Narada Muni, "Please bring me a glass of water. It is very hot." Narada Muni asked him, "We are in the midst of the desert. Where should I get water from?" "Oh," said Krishna, "it's amazing when you say the word hot, different people react differently." So Narada Muni was told by the Lord, "Yes, here you go through this desert, and at the end of the desert you find a river, and this river on the bank of the river there is a village, and there you should knock and see whether or not someone gives you a water. So Narada Muni passed through the desert, and he actually came to that village. He knocked on the first door. No one opened. He knocked on the second door. Again, no one opened. He knocked at the third door, and he heard a voice. Yes? Me, Narada Muni. The door was opening, and there inside the door, he saw most probably the most beautiful woman in existence. The woman said, come in. No, said Narada Muni, no need. I just want a glass of water for my friend. No, you come, you have traveled a long time, you sit here. So Narada Muni entered, sat down, and then from another door, a man entered the room, and the man looked at Narada Muni and said, you must be Narada Muni. You have been foretold in the scripture. It has been prophesied that you would come on this particular day and you would marry my daughter. Oh, said Narada Muni, I actually have decided to remain a celibate monk. I wanted to remain brahmachari, like Narayan. I wanted to remain brahmachari. No, said the man. It is stated in the astrological scriptures that you would come on such and such day. And there is also a prophecy that this Narada Muni will marry my daughter. Narada Muni, if it is full, safe, and sure, then I will marry. He married. He had three children. And he forgot all about the glass of water which he was meant to bring for Krishna. He forgot. He was so engaged. The father died, and he was elected by the villagers to be the new president of the village. He became the village president. Until one day something strange happened, which I want to tell you about. It began to rain. Now this is nothing extraordinary in Copenhagen. But it rained so heavy that the river began to swell. It had more and more water. It came over the banks of the river. It began to swell more. Finally, it took one of the houses down. It took another house down. Then it came to Narada Muni's house. It also took the house of Narada Muni. Okay. The river was so heavy. Then Narada Muni, in his emergency, he took all his children into the boat, which was there, and the boat was floating on top of the river, and he was very worried. Nothing was left of his village, and the waves started to come. Then one wave entered their boat and took away his son, first son. Then another wave came and took away another son. His son was as old as you are, Narayan. Then a third wave came and took another son away. Then finally a fourth wave came and took his wife away. And then the wave came and carries the boat up, 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 and then down. And then it came down. He fell out of the boat into the ocean water. Began to swim. What is happening? Then one of the rudders came to hit him where the ear was. Oh no! He screamed, "Krishna! Krishna!" And while, as he was screaming, he closed his eyes and he felt. He grabbed onto something and he finally opened the eyes. He saw it was a yellow piece of cloth, a yellow piece of a dhoti. He looked upwards, upwards, and he looked into the smiling face of Narayan, yes, of Krishna, of Krishna. And Krishna was looking down at him and said, "Do you know now what is my illusory energy?" And Narada Muni was not sure. He said, "Well, it's very strong, isn't it?" And Krishna asked him a question. "Where is my glass of water? Have you forgotten?" Narada Muni immediately began to understand. "Oh yes, sorry, give me another chance." And he went to again through the desert. At the end of the desert, he found the village. He knocked at the same, at the first door. No one opened. He knocked at the second door. No one opened. He knocked at the third door. "Hello, yes, it's me, Narada Muni." The door opened. Saw most probably the most beautiful lady in the creation. And he said, "What do you want?" "Oh, I just want a glass of water." "Oh no, come in, sit down." "No, no, thank you." No. "Well, you came so far. You must sit down, relieve yourself a little." No, just a minute. "Are you sure?" "Yes, I'm sure," said Narada Muni. "Okay," he said, "then take this glass of water. Hope you all have understood. Don't forget your glass of water. So bring the glass of water to Krishna. Then you will not come under the influence of Maya." What do you think, Lalita? When you forget the service of the Lord, at that time, Maya, or the illusory energy, is very strong. As long as you remember, you cannot be captured by Maya. The Lord says, "Devi Kesha Gunamayi Mama Maya Duratyaya Mameva Ye Prapatyante Maya Metang Parantite." This material energy, this Maya, durajaya, so very difficult to overcome. But someone who surrenders and renders loving devotional service, he can easily cross beyond its influence. So please remember your glass of water, that is your service position. Now when we come in the material energy, we forget the glass of water because we do not have love for Krishna. Our love is becoming colored. It becomes transformed, transmuted. And as a result, it takes on different and strange forms which have nothing to do with the pure love of Krishna. I have a little list of different forms of material attachments or material love which is there given in the scriptures. See, in Greenland, people are very much thinking of snow. Therefore, they have about 30 different names for snow. Firm snow, soft snow, middle soft snow, hard snow, wet snow, dry snow, drinking water snow, non-drinking water snow. About 30. But the Sanskrit language is very much concerned of love, and they have about 64 different words for love. Hare Krishna, welcome. One form, which is the lowest form, is called Trishna. Trishna means something like thirst. See, when I want to drink water, I consider the water an object for my enjoyment. I never ever ask the question if the water has another plan than to be drunken by me. It's an object for me. I'm thirsty and I take it and I drink it. I totally, let me say, use it for my own enjoyment. This is the most selfish form of love, Krishna, or thirst, which is not even love. It is an exploitation. Then, as the love becomes purified, it comes to what is karma. Karma usually means a passion, strong attachment to the different objects of the material world. It can mean attachment to the opposite sex, but it can also mean attachment to wealth and so on and so forth. It's very strong and also quite selfish still. Then as it gets higher, love is called manmata. Manmata means it's a feeling as if you have butterflies in the stomach. You might remember this when you were from your previous experiences. Welcome. You might remember that, how it felt and how it was moving you. Then comes a even more pure form. We are getting now a little bit unselfish. It comes to Richaya. Richaya means something like an emotional feeling of affection which you have to someone. A very deep friendship where you want that the other person becomes happy. Richaya. It's often found amongst deep friends, an emotional bonding. Then, it goes higher and it comes to the platform of priti. Priti is a love which is there amongst, very often amongst spiritual people. It's a friendship, but a little bit more intense. Rupa Goswami tells us that to cultivate this friendship, six activities are recommended. One is you give the other friend a present. Another is you take presents from him. Then the other is you very confidentially reveal what is in your mind. And the other still is that you want to hear from your friend. What does he think? What is he feeling? Then you take prasadam, and finally you give prasadam. Today we met Mrigendra. He is our friend from Switzerland. And he said, come and eat. And we sat down and he gave a lot of prasadam. We had one sabji, we had a vegetable, we had rice, we had a soup, we had lasagna, we had five different types of cake, then we had a fruit juice and sweetened. We noticed how he was so happy to give us this prasadam, this sanctified food, and how our friend, how we said, Mrigendra, it's so good, we are so hungry, you are our best friend. And he said, yes, take more, and so on. This is called priti, affectionate dealings amongst friends, which is very deep, and so on. Now, from priti, we go higher to what we can call ruchi. Ruchi is a state of our love where the love begins to become directed towards God and become purified. Ruchi is that feeling of intense happiness when you are engaging in activities which are directly connected with Krishna. For instance, a ruchi can come when you sing the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. Some of you, I have noticed, they're singing and experiencing nice happiness and experiencing how their hearts are opening. It's called the beginning stages of ruchi, which are possible even for a conditioned soul. Then comes ashakti, where you become totally attached to Krishna. And you are just waiting in your life. When will Krishna again enter into the core of my heart and be present there? After ashakti comes bhava. That is love for Krishna, which is very, very strong. Where Krishna is liking this so much that he appears. We have a statement of, we have Narada Muni in the Srimad Bhagavatam, who left his house after his wife, after his mother had found and had just died, and who went into the forest in order to find Krishna. After some time of searching, he decided he cannot be found outside, so he sat down. He chanted one mantra, and then Krishna appeared in his heart. It is described how at that time he was very much moved by the vision of Krishna, but Krishna again disappeared from the heart, which made Narada Muni very sad. Narada Muni was thinking, Krishna, where are you? Where are you? He felt so much love for Krishna. So that finally Krishna, he appeared before him, but only in his voice. He said, I regret. In this life you will not see me again, because your heart is not yet totally, absolutely purified, but by your constant yearning to see me again and your chanting of the holy name, you will one day see me again. Narada Muni felt so much love for transcendental love, or it's called Bhava in his heart, that he began to go and chant the holy name all over the universe without caring for social convention. And when the time of his death came, death came to him almost like thunder and flash. Death came, and at the time of death he was immediately leaving the body and taking on his original spiritual body, in which he continued to serve Krishna. So this happens when a devotee comes, has purified his love so much so that he or she has come or gone through the lower states of love to the pure state of love of Godhead. It's like purifying and purifying and purifying love again. What is pure love? The pure love means you are only interested in giving to the other. Whereas unpurified love, or adulterated love, as we say, means you're very much interested in your own self. Like we heard, the lowest type really of love is this kanksha, this thirst, that people even are so uncontrolled that they, I think you in Copenhagen have heard about things where people just victimize other people for their sense enjoyment. I mean, it's in all major cities of the world, but we have many examples of people whose love is so degraded and so selfish and exploitative that it's not really, we can't really call it love any longer. So, yes, now the interesting question which you might have is, how can we purify our love so that it can again be, you know, that again we are attracted to Krishna in his pure form? Scriptures say that it is very important to engage one's love. Many traditions have tried to suppress the loving feeling because they have recognized that it's problematic, this love, when it is displayed in the material world. Many people in this world are frustrated because they tried to give love, but they did not receive enough back, and they are frustrated. Even more and more people are entering into divorce even after quite some time of love, because they feel frustrated. So many spiritual paths say, you just stop all this love. You meditate, and you just become a hermit, so to say, and move away from society and live your own isolated life. This is not such a good process, because when you try to blockade the love which is there and which wants to connect with Krishna, the result is that it will not work. It will become stronger and stronger, the urge to love, and finally it will explode in some unpredictable ways. The best way is to engage it, and by engaging it, to slowly transform it, to engage oneself in the process of devotional service is a very, very powerful way to transform our love and make it pure, so that it is again taking shelter as the lotus feet of Sri Krishna. The devotees in Krishna consciousness are, you can say, channeling that attachment, which is and all these loving feelings, by trying to engage it in Krishna service. And this process is very good. The example has been given, and you have a river which flows, and you put a dam before the river. Doesn't work. The water becomes stronger, 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 until finally it pushes the dam down. We have seen this in our own movement, that sometimes devotees, they want to be celibate monks, but they feel how the loving urge becomes so strong that it has broken the dam, and they cannot maintain their desire. So instead of blockading yourself, you should try some means whereby you can effectively engage in attachments and loving moods in the service of Krishna. And while putting it in the service of Krishna, this energy will give you a lot of, strength, and a lot of inspiration, and a lot of encouragement, so that it is possible for you to overcome all types of obstacles in your love, and in your life, and in your love. Something which is given to Krishna immediately takes on the same qualities as Krishna has. For instance, Maharaj Prabhupada has often spoken of iron. When you take iron and you put it into the fire, the iron takes on fiery qualities. In a similar way, when you take love and put it to Krishna, you take attachment and put it to Krishna, then immediately it takes spiritual qualities, and it becomes very pure and a very happy form of life. This is called the magical transformation which takes place when something is brought in contact with Krishna. It becomes Krishnarized or spiritualized, and as a result has a very deep and spiritual, result. Take, for instance, food. We all like food very much, at least when we have not eaten it for some time. So if we take this food and cook it, instead of cooking it for ourselves, we cook it for the Lord, we offer it at the altar, it becomes prasadam, and it becomes a very spiritual food. This food is really transformed food. We always say the speciality of prasadam is that it is spiritual. It has spiritual information. You can take an ordinary potato, a Danish potato, and you put it on the altar. You say the mantras, and then the potato, which has only material information, like minerals and water, takes spiritual information. And if you eat that same potato, your whole existence is filled with spiritual information. You feel very happy and nice. Like we took this nice Govinda prasadam today, and we feel not just nourished, but our hearts still feel this energy of transcendental love, because it has a different type of information, spiritual information. It's a sign, or it's a proof, how something material which is given to Krishna gets transformed. So if you take the lower forms of love, attachment, thirst, and so on, and you give it to Krishna. You engage it in Krishna's service by becoming attached to spiritual things in connection with Krishna. You will experience how your love gets purified and liberated. But if you don't do this, it will be very difficult for you to develop pure love of Krishna. Once there was a saint, his name was Jaimini, and he said to his spiritual master, "My dear Vyasadev, I think I am beyond sexual attraction." Welcome. So his spiritual master said, "All right, I think you should never say this. Let us see." So he, Vyasadeva, that's the name of the spiritual master, decided to go on a journey, and he left his disciple Jaimini, who was living alone in the forest. One fine evening, Jaimini came to a tree, and he saw, most properly, the most beautiful of women. Again, Narayan. And he was dressed in the same cloth. He was a sattvi, a female, a saint. And Jaimini said, "What are you doing at this time of the day, here alone in the forest?" And she said, "I'm on my way through. I'm going to Kashi, the holy place. Do you know if here or near here is some place where I can sleep for the night, because the sun is setting?" Jaimini said, "Well, this is in the midst of the jungle. You need 5 hours to go to the next human hermitage. But I have my place here. I have my little hut here." "Oh," she said, "this is not proper. How can I be in the same hut as you? Who knows what will happen?" No, said Jaimini. "I'm beyond this type of attraction. I'm a self-realized soul." Okay, she went, and they came to where the hut was, and Jaimini said, "You can sleep in the hut. I will be outside." Okay. They both fell asleep, but then it started to rain. And it was very, very heavy, the rain. Jaimini became all wet and cold. And finally, it was just too cold, he said. He knocked at the door. "Can I come in?" "Oh, no, she said. "I'm a woman, and you are a man, and it is a night. Who knows what will happen? There are enough scandals. We don't want to create another one." So she said, "You can be inside, and I am outside." No, come on, I am beyond this. Don't worry, you know. Why are you always thinking in such primitive ways? We are sadhus, we are spiritual people, we know we are not the body. What is the problem?" And he went inside, and she said, she was lying on one side of the hut, and he was lying on another side of the hut. Fell asleep. Now all of a sudden, in his dream, he saw pictures. He was amazed. "What do I see?" And then he woke up, and he felt some irresistible attraction coming from his guest, and was very, 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 tried to fight it, but finally he couldn't fight it any longer. He just ran over to her and jumped on her, took his hand and went in her face and went lower and lower, and all of a sudden felt, oh, what's this? And he jumped up, went to, you know, an oil lamp and lit it, and when the light came through the hut, he saw that at the place where the saintly lady was, the spiritual master, Vyasadeva, had a big beard sitting and said, see, never say you are beyond this attraction. I wanted to teach you a lesson. Hari Bol. So this is an example of what I was trying to explain to you earlier. If you blockade that loving feeling inside of you, it will not work. It will have to come out in some way, because it is natural for the soul to give love and to experience love in relationship to Krishna. It is very natural. Now, you can't keep it inside. Otherwise, it will come out in strange, strange forms. Therefore, it is better if you engage it in Krishna service, if you use your attachment to serve the Lord. For instance, all of us, we like sound vibration. We can sing the holy names of the Lord with Srishti Katas, exquisite harmonium playing, or at home we can sing. We all like to eat, and we can take the food and offer it to Krishna. We all like to engage our minds in something. We can read spiritual scriptures and study the spiritual scriptures. In this way, we can experience a wholesome transformation of our love, so that it can again become nectarian attachment to Krishna. So, this is what I wanted to tell to you today. I hope it has engladdened your heart. And if you forget everything from the lecture, do not forget your glass of water. That's how it all started. That is how it all started. We forgot to bring our glass of water to Krishna. And as a result, our loving love for Krishna transformed into something else, into material attachments. Now we have to take these attachments and engage them in Krishna service, and in this way become transcendentalists again. Hare Krishna, I want to end here. Do you have any questions regarding these points? Yes, Narayan? No. Do you speak English, Narayan? You could understand everything? Good. How did you like the story with Vyasadeva? Yeah? Something to think about. Yeah? Yeah. Yes? How to... yes, Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita that the process of spiritual life is susukam. It means full of pleasure. The process of spiritual life is full of spiritual pleasure. If you apply it properly, then you will develop that spiritual pleasure whilst you are engaging in the process of Krishna consciousness. But you must be very careful. When I want to light a fire, I must see that I do not simultaneously pour water on it. In the same way,
when I practice the process of Krishna consciousness and I want to experience real spiritual life, I must be very careful simultaneously that I do not engage in materialistic activities on the side. Then only Krishna consciousness can take full effect. Some people say, I tried chanting, I tried this process, but it did not work. And the reason is, yes, they tried, but at the same time, they smoke or something else.
And the second time, you left the many risks. And I'm wondering, like, in spiritual life, sometimes one is will not take any risk when he wants to stay put with one's Krishna consciousness, and is very scared of doing anything which can endanger one's sadhana and one's own consciousness.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm wondering, is this consciousness, is this satisfying to Krishna, or is it also satisfying that we may put ourselves in situations for Krishna service where we may, not exactly in danger, but maybe even
take a little risk,
endanger our own Krishna consciousness for the service of the Lord, or is it kind of playing with fire?
Well, there are those types of risks which are very important to be taken in spiritual life. And there are those types of risks which are quite dangerous for the spiritual life. When you see that there is an opportunity where you can surrender more to Krishna, and it is a little risky, but you should, you can see it is clearly something which will help me in my Krishna consciousness, and you should do it. And you will experience how Krishna will help you. For instance, I could see in my own life, just a little while ago, I had an invitation to go with a group of devotees up the Himalayan mountains to the place called Muktinath. Have you heard about this place? You have heard about it? Mostly not. It is in Nepal, and anyone who goes there is for sure liberated from material existence. But just before I went, I had an accident too. And my leg was hurt very much. So I was thinking, should I take the risk to go now with this bad leg to Muktinath? And I was thinking, and it became very clear to me, yes, I must take the risk for Krishna. And I did it, and my leg was healing like a storm so fast. And so on. There's some type of risk which we must take, otherwise we will never ever experience Krishna consciousness. Or, you know, someone is a meat eater, and he hears, I should not eat meat any longer because it is murder. So in the beginning he may think, well, what with the proteins? I will totally die. But we should take this little risk, and he will see how Krishna will fulfill him. Sometimes to start with spiritual life is a little risk also. You don't know what will happen. How will my family react? How will all my people react? My friends and so on. But there's some risk which we absolutely must take. Whereas there are other risks where you play with fire, which are very bad for you, where you lose, which are not necessary. For instance, if you would go as a young monk into a a house of prostitution. You know, this is not necessary to take this risk. Or, you were in Sweden, Mataji? Yeah. Yes. When I met Yadu, and how ecstatically he danced in the kirtan, ooh, never seen such a good dancer as Yadunath. And then we had a nice interview. I became interested. I'm happy that you also have come. Now I know who Yadu's son and Yabuna. Getting tired, huh? What do you think about this, purifying the love? It's an adventure. What do you think, Larissa? Interesting. We often learn that if you want to experience purification of love, it's difficult to immediately love Krishna. But what you can do is you can develop affection for his devotees. And in this way, you learn to love Krishna. If you love the devotees. Yeah. Anyone else has a question? What is your name, if I may ask? Oh yeah. In Germany it means village. Ta means village. Yes. Love is the most powerful force that we have. And it's very important that we do not ignore it when we come into spiritual life, but we do something with it. Right? So I'm very thankful. I will have to leave more or less in this time. But we can maybe sing one more the Hare Krishna Mahamantra. Is it because you were singing so nicely? Yeah.